Amen. Who was blessed by that? All of us. Even though it wasn't in our language, we know that was a praise to the Lord, right? And I just, very courageous. I know back in my days when I was that age, there's no way I would have got up the front. So thank you all. Even now, like coming here, coming out the front, even though I've preached a few times, it's just always, I'm always nervous, especially in a new church. Thank you, St. Andrews, for inviting me today. For those who don't know who I am, my name's Steve. Yep, it's up there. Cool. So thank you. And, I believe the Lord has a message for all of us today, for the young and for the old. So how do I turn this on? So I just click. Okay, cool. Okay. So the title of my message this morning is, Where There's a Will, There's a Way. Who has used that phrase before? Yeah, probably most of us have, right? Where there's a will, there's a way. Let me just begin with a word of prayer before I start. Dear and gracious Father, I just want to thank you this morning for your Sabbath day. Thank you for bringing us here, Lord, and allowing us to open your word together and learn a little bit more, Lord. Father, may you guide us through your Spirit. May you speak to our hearts today. May we leave this place today closer to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I do have a few verses I want to share with you, but because of time, they're all on the PowerPoint pretty much. But there is one passage of Scripture I want us to open our Bibles to. So where there's a will, there's a way. That actually, this phrase came to my mind recently, a few weeks ago. There's a few of these big decisions we've been trying to make this year. And one of them, for those who know, is obviously moving away down south, just over the border. And which to a lot of people, that's a crazy move. Like, why would you do that, especially now in the situation that we find ourselves in? And we just say, well, we've been praying about it, and we believe God is leading us there. But the other day I was with work, usually I have a few tools, and this phrase came to mind as I was contemplating if to buy one of my battery-operated tools just gave up, and it stopped working. So I had been thinking for a while to buy a whole new kit as I wanted some extra tools. And since this one broke, it crossed my mind, like, should I just buy a whole new kit? Like, usually when it comes to spending money, I think over and over and over again. I don't just jump straight away and buy a new set of tools, especially when I think I don't really need it at the time. And anyway, at this time, I didn't really need a whole new kit of tools, but since one of them broke, well, I might as well go for it. I had the money, and my wife said, oh, you got the money, just get it. But in my mind, I'm like, do I need it? Anyway, it took a while, and then I decided, okay, I'll go for it, I'll buy it. And every time I would, because the shop that had it was down at the Sunshine Coast, so I wasn't going to drive there, I was just going to buy it over the phone. So anyway, every time I try paying for it with a card, it just sort of wouldn't work. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, maybe God doesn't want me to get this set of tools because I don't really need it. And then I was at work, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I know which way. I know how I can do it. I know how I can work around it and actually get it without changing anything. I can just do this and do that, and I can still get it over the phone. Because I was having issues with my bank account and doing the transfer. And the thought came to my mind, where there's a will, there's a way. Yeah, when you want to really do something, you'll find a way around to get it or to do that certain thing. And God brought to my mind, yeah, but is that my will or is that your will? Is that your way or is that my way? And I'm like, wow, I had never thought about it that way. Because sometimes when we have the means to do certain things or get certain things, we just do it. We won't really think about it twice, especially if it doesn't really affect a bank account or a situation. We'll just do it. Right? Yes, probably most of us would agree to that. Now, when it comes to making decisions, sometimes I find it a little bit hard, especially when with a family in mind. Like if I was by myself, it wouldn't really affect me in the decision I make. It might just affect me for a little bit in my personal life, but when you have a whole family, the decision always, you gotta always think about them as well. Now, how can we know or discern the will of God for my life? How can you know or discern the will of God for your life? What does God actually want me to do today or tomorrow? Where does he want me to go? Who does he want me to talk to? Or what does he want me to say to that person we come across? Maybe some of the younger ones might be thinking, what does God really want me to study? Should I study that subject? Should I go into that career? Maybe should I take on that job or not? For some of the ones who are looking to get married or thinking about getting married, should I marry that person? Is that the right person for me? Is that who God really wants me to spend the rest of my life with? Does God maybe want me to come to this church? Or some of you might be thinking, does God want me to commit my life to him through baptism or get to know him more? What decisions are you trying to make in your life today? A lot of the times when you try to make these decisions, what I find in my mind is like I have these two voices, yes, no, go for it, don't go for it. And sometimes I think, am I going crazy here? Which voice am I actually meant to listen to? You study the word, you pray. But what is God's ultimate will for us? What is God's ultimate will for us? So God has an ultimate will for us, an ultimate plan. We find that in 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. So he says, For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. That is God's ultimate desire, for you and I to be saved, to spend eternity with him. And he says, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Well, we know that in the scriptures, in the Bible, in John chapter 8, verse 32, it tells us that the truth will set you free. The truth will set us free. He wants us to live this life that's full of joy, full of peace, a life in which we get to know him so well that no matter what happens, we have peace in our heart. The key to knowing God's will. So the key to knowing God's will is a living dynamic relationship with Jesus Christ. We find this in John 17, verse 3, which tells us, and this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So knowing who Jesus is will set us free. Knowing who Jesus is will guide us in that decision that we need to make for our future, or for today, for tomorrow. As I was looking into what to share, usually a lot of things cross my mind. The Holy Spirit speaks to me. I'm like, oh, share this. And then I think of share that. And because obviously the decision we've been trying to make for this past year, this came to mind. And just the other day, I was thinking, usually I listen in the mornings, I usually listen to Audioverse when I do my workout, if I get time. And as I was there in the gym, a thought came to my mind. I don't know how many of you have heard of the, I don't know if I'll say it right, the Urim and the Thummim. It's found in the scriptures in the Old Testament. Okay, so this was two stones that were given to the priest. So the priest had a garment, and obviously for those who have seen the picture of what the priest, the high priest, wore, they had those 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes. But then they had two other stones, which were called the Urim and the Thummim. And I'll read you this passage here, which is found in Exodus 28, verse 30. It says, insert the Urim and the Thummim, these two stones, into the sacred chest piece so they will So they will be carried over Aaron's heart when he goes into the Lord's presence. In this way, Aaron would always carry over his heart the objects used to determine the Lord's will for his people whenever he goes in before the Lord. That I had heard about that years ago, and that just crossed my mind. I'm like, oh, wow, yeah, that's true. I remember that now. And so I started looking into it a little bit more. I'm not going to talk about that today, but it's just I thought I'd share with you. You can look into it and see. You know, it's not very clear to how exactly it worked, but through the scriptures we can find that God would answer certain questions that the king, especially the kings, had when they asked the priests. And through these stones, God will give them the answer. And in my head, I was thinking, I wish I had those two stones today. If I could just get that clear answer from God, it would be so good. But God made a way for them to know his will back then. And he still makes a way for us to know his will today. Amen? So even though sometimes we're not sure of what decisions to make, we can count on God to tell us what he wants us to do. So if there was a man that seek to do God's will in the scriptures, who's someone that might come to mind in the Old Testament? Abraham, Daniel, David. David is the one that came to my mind. Let me just go to the book of Acts. I don't have this passage here in the PowerPoint, but I'll just go to the book of Acts, and I'll read in chapter 13. You can turn to there if you like. So book of Acts, chapter 13, and I'll read verse 22. And it says, and when he had removed him, talking about Saul, had removed King Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now this man, David, as most of you may know, he's known as the man that was after God's own heart. What made him a man after God's own heart? Well, I believe David wanted to do God's will. David, I guess was a sinner just like us, and he fell at times. But I want us to look at this passage today, which is found in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 22. And most of our focus is going to be on that passage to try to bring out seven key principles in knowing God's will. So I don't have 1 Samuel on the PowerPoint, but you can search it up on your scriptures and you can read it together with me as we go through it. So 1 Samuel chapter 23. So seven principles to apply when discerning God's will for our life. Now here in this, from chapter 23, this is not long after King Saul had ordered his men to kill the priest at the city of Nob. So we know that at this time David is a fugitive. He's running away from Saul. He's running away for his life. Really, Saul wants to get rid of him. Why? Because he knows that David is going to take over. So David is running away, hiding in different places, and then he ends up in this place where all the priests are. Saul finds out, and then Saul goes there and gets rid of all the priests. But we find that as you read through that, you find that one of the sons of the priests manages to run away and then meets up with Saul, which we'll look into a little bit later. But so let's just read from verse 1 through to 3. If you have your Bible, say you can follow with me. So 1 Samuel 23, verse 1 through to 3. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, or Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, Go and smite the Philistines, and save Keilah. And David's men, verse 3, and David's men said unto him, Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? So, if you really think about it, why would someone in their right mind who's running away from Saul, running away for his own life's sake, think about even going now and helping out a city that really has nothing to do with him? Like, you're going to go there and risk your own lives for these people that really just leave him. But obviously we can see that David had a heart for doing good as well. He had something in his heart that he wanted to go and save this city from the Philistines. Now, we're going to go through these passages and go through our seven principles. What can we find here in this first three verses? Okay, hold on. It's just vibrating. Just turn it off and I'll turn it back on. No, I don't know. All right, well, I wanted it to click one by one, but anyway. Okay, so all right, well, that won't work. All right, so we'll just go through the seven principles. So our first principle, have a wholehearted surrender to his will. Here we can see David finds in his heart a desire to want to go and rescue these people from the Philistines. Having a wholehearted surrender to know God's will. This is probably one of the most, probably the most difficult part of the step. Why? Because sometimes we want to ask God to show us his will, show us which way to go, what to do. But in the back of our minds, we want to sort of help God out. How many of us have done that? Yep, I can raise both my hands. Plenty of times I've done that. You make a decision, you want to do something, but really you want to say, God, can we make it go this way? So then it's like, what I want, really want to do. But having a wholehearted surrender to God. In Matthew 26, verse 39, we read here that it says, He went a little farther and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Here we find Jesus' example. He's having a wholehearted surrender to the Father, wanting to do the will of the Father. Even though he doesn't really want to, he knows he needs to go through this, but he knows what's going to happen. And deep down inside, it's like as if, Lord, if you can change this, change it. But at the end of the day, I want to do your will. David knew that these people needed the help. He knew that he would be risking his life in going out there. But yet he's seeking to ask God, Lord, do I go and save these people? Do I go and save this city? He had to make that choice. If God had said yes, he had to go. If God said no, he wouldn't go. But obviously, deep down in his heart, he wanted to go. In John 4, verse 34, Jesus once again, he says, Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. This was the desire of Jesus. He knew he had a mission. He had something to accomplish here for you and for me. And he was going to do anything possible to accomplish it. Where there's a will, there's a way. He knew what he had to do, and he was going to do it. I think if we cannot get past this first point, if we cannot get this first point right, then we probably would never be able to know God's will for our lives. We need to have no preconceived ideas, no preconceived plans. I believe it's either all or nothing. When we ask to know God's will, it's got to be truly from the heart. Lord, I want to know. Show me. We either want to know to do His will or not. We need to pray, Lord, show me Your will. Show me what Your desire is, that we might please You and not ourselves. Our second point, let's keep on reading, and I'll just read a couple of verses more here in 1 Samuel. So in 1 Samuel chapter 23, I'll keep on reading from verse 3 through to 5. Hold on, I think my PowerPoint's a little bit mixed up. Hold on. Sorry, from these first three verses that we read, we get two main points. The next one is study God's word. So our second principle to be able to apply when discerning God's will for our life is to study God's word. We clearly can see that in when we read the book of Psalms, that David knew God's word. In Psalms 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." David saw his word as something so important that would lead him the right way. It would lead him in the path of righteousness. Here we find that when we read in verse 3 it says, "And David's men said unto him, Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come in to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" For someone who's seeking to do God's will, no matter what comes before them to stop them, he would know what God's word is and will continue to move forward. Knowing God's word, why do we need to know God's word? Well, Jeremiah 17 verse 9, it tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who knows best? God. And that we find answers in His word. You know, sometimes we have friends that might try to discourage us in the decisions that we've made. Here we have David's men who now are bringing this up. Look, we're scared. We're afraid. Why are we going to go there? David knows God's word. He says in Proverbs 16 verse 9, A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Amen? I mean, I pray that I get reminded of that each day. So many times we plan. I pray that God will direct my heart each and every day in the decisions that I make. It can be simple as just going to work that morning. As simple as going to school. There's decisions that we make each and every single day. That from the very youngest to the oldest, there's plenty of decisions we have to make each day. The question is, do we let God lead us in that decision that we make? Let us continue reading. So we'll read from verse 4 through to 5. So we find in verse 3 that David's men are afraid. And then in verse 4 it says, "Then David inquired of the Lord again. And the Lord answered him and said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And verse 5, so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away the cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. So what do we find here? Now, David is, he's probably thought about it twice now from God. It's crossed his mind now, God, really, what do you want me to do? These men are afraid. Am I still meant to go there? Is there anything wrong with asking God again for clarity? No. And as we're reading through these passages, we'll find that there's about four times that David seeks for God's answer, for God's guidance. Here we find that David inquired of the Lord again. The third point that I wanted to bring up was to ask God in prayer to reveal his will. We find that he, David asked on the first verse that we read, and here once again, David is asking. Once again, he inquires of God to reveal his will. In James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. We have so many wonderful promises that we find in Scripture that really, if we were to take all of them to heart, we wouldn't go wrong. In every decision we need to make, God is there to guide us. And there's nothing wrong with inquiring God again for clarity and direction. David inquires of the Lord yet again, and he seeks answer. God says to him, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hands. That just gave David more assurance that God was with him. In Jeremiah 29 verse 13, we got to back up. So Jeremiah 29 verse 13, it says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, when it comes to prayer, the question is, okay, how long, God, do I have to pray for? How long do I have to be on my knees and asking you to show me and guide me? Well, how long is a piece of string? Well, God knows our heart. He knows the sincerity of the questions that we ask him. God will show us in his time. Why? Because his time is perfect. Sometimes we might want to know something right here and now, but that's probably not the right time for God. Maybe he wants us to wait just a little bit longer. You know, how hard have you labored to secure a good future for your family? Or for those who are not married, maybe for yourself. A lot of times we work very hard to secure a future, right? Well, how hard is it to ask God? How hard is it to pray and ask for guidance? David inquired of the Lord again. Let's remember that when we ask God's direction. Now, once again, David's men were afraid. David inquired God. Did David just go by feelings? He could have just said, well, yeah, maybe this guy's, I think there were 600 of them. There's 600 versus one here. Maybe I should just listen to what they're saying. You know, a lot of times opposition is going to come up without experience. We've had a lot of people telling us, you know, we're making the wrong decision, which only time will tell. Like, I don't know. God is, I believe, is directing us this way, and God knows best. Do I go by feelings? Like, for those who don't know, we're going down south to New South Wales, just over the border. There's no lockdowns here in Queensland. but yet there's plenty of lockdowns down there. Why would I choose to go down there when I have so much freedom here? Don't go simply by feeling. The enemy will try to implant fear in our paths, in our God-led decision-making. Don't let feelings get in the way God knows best. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it tells us, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Amen? We can trust God. God has given us the ability to make decisions. And we can be sure that if we follow His ways, we will never make the wrong decision. We need to trust that the Holy Spirit is there, guiding us and directing us into all truth. You know, back in the days, God would use the priests sometimes to give the answers and the direction to the kings and those who had questions. And today, He's using the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah 1:18, it tells us... Thank you, Pastor. Awesome. In Isaiah 1:18, it tells us, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen. A sound mind, being able to make that clear decision. A sound mind to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. God can give us that through His Holy Spirit. He wants us to consult Him at all times. He created you. He created me, so He knows us best. Now, let's just quickly read verse 6. Let's read from verse 7 through to 8. And it says, "And it was told to Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God has delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men." So in verse 6, it tells us about that priest, that the son of the priest that managed to run away. And he comes to David and tells him what took place. And now David finds out that Saul knows where he is. And he's coming down to make war and to destroy the city and get rid of him. Now, one of the points that I wanted to bring up was to consult with godly friends. Now, when we look at the example of David, of Saul, we know he was a fellow Israelite. He was one of the kings of Israel. One that you would probably call a godly friend, right? When you have friends from church, sometimes you might think, oh, well, you know, I can trust this person. He comes to church with me. I've known him for a very long time, even maybe a family member. When we read through the story of Saul, we find that once he was anointed as king, he was even prophesying. God's spirit was with him, and he was making wise and right decisions. After he chose to disobey God and do his own will, then we find that the Spirit of God left Saul. And what the decisions and the counsels that Saul started giving were ungodly. There were those that were not God-led. We find that his decisions were corrupt and evil. So when it comes to consulting a godly friend, we need to ask God for guidance. In Proverbs 14, There he tells us where there is no counsel. Sorry, Proverbs 14 is the top one. It's meant to be changed around. So Proverbs 11:14 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Very wise counsel there. But remember, the Bible tells us, "You shall know them by their works." So when you have a friend, we're not to judge anyone, right? Amen? We're not to make any judgments against anyone. But sometimes we can see by their fruits where they might be spiritually. And the counsels that they give us, well, we really need to seek for God's guidance. Then in Psalms, I don't know, I can't remember if I got this the other way around. Anyway, if someone can find, so which one is which? Psalms is, yep. Okay, so Proverbs 11:14 is where there's no counsel that people fall. Yes, that's the one. I changed it quickly this morning. I couldn't remember if I did it wrong. Anyway, so where there is no counsel that people fall, but in the multitudes of counselors, there is safety. So there we have a counsel also in the scriptures that it is fine to us for counsel from godly friends. You know, sometimes God will put people in our paths who give us the right counsel or guide us the right way or just give us clear direction that maybe God has shown them. But we need to ask the Holy Spirit for counsel. We need to test all counsels. How? By the word of God. Okay? By the word of God. So point number 5 was consult with godly friends. Now, quickly, let's read verse 9 through to 12, and we'll go to our point number 6. There's two more points, there's 6 and 7. So from verse 9 to 12, it tells us, "And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said unto Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod." So now within this ephod is where we find these two stones that I mentioned to you about earlier. "So then said David, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up with his hand? Will Saul come down so thy servant has heard? O Lord, God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant, and the Lord said he will come down." So David knows that Saul is out to seek him and destroy his life. Once again, we find here, what is David doing? Asking for counsel, asking God for direction. What do you do? What do you do? Now, David finds himself in this situation that's sort of flipped upside down. His plans have now, I guess, turned around. He was there, fine. He helped Keilah from the Philistines. He's fine, surrounded by these walls. Saul sees this as an advantage now. Like, he thinks that God has delivered David into his hands. So what is David to do? His life is at risk. You know, David knows that his life is at risk. My next point is make a decision and trust God in his guidance. And trust in God's guidance. David had to make a quick decision. What do I do? Do I stay here where you asked me to come and save these people? Or now do I just leave? If your life was at risk, what decision would you make? Probably flee as quick as possible, right? You wouldn't want to stay at a place where you know your life will be taken away. Make a decision and trust God in God's guidance. The thing is, sometimes plans might change. You know, we have a plan. Sometimes we make plans. We ask for God's guidance and direction. How many of you have found that your plans have changed after you've gotten clarity or you've gone somewhere? Yeah, I saw one hand raised. Yeah, you never know. Here, God tells David, yep, go there. Now, all of a sudden, the plans have changed. So what do? Ask God for direction again. God knows best. He knows where we need to be at that particular time. He knows where we need to be the next day or the next year or whenever it may be. He knows best. What does Proverbs tell us? Most of us will know this verse, Proverbs verse 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Why is that? Why do we need to trust God? Well, James 1 verse 8 tells us that the man who has two ways of thinking changes in everything he does. I could say that's probably me. I'm very, I'm a procrastinator in making decisions. And, you know, sometimes, now I'm afraid to tell Kat what I'm actually thinking of doing because I know if I tell her I'm going to do something, probably within the next day or two, it'll change. So now I keep a lot of those decisions to myself until I know I have clarity on them and I know I'm actually going to do it. But a lot of the times, you know, when we don't let God guide us and direct us, we can easily change from one thing to another. We need to trust God. We need to make the decision and trust in God's guidance. Now, we'll finish off this passage from verse 13 through to 15, and we'll look at our final point, point number 7, from verse 13. So, so the Lord tells him in verse 12, yes, so they will, that the people of Keilah were going to deliver him into David's hands. Can you imagine David? He's just been there rescuing them, and all of a sudden, the people that he helped out are going to turn him into David, to Saul. I mean, how would you feel? God's guided you in this direction where you've gone to do good, and now it's going to go against you. Like, you probably think, was that really God's guidance? Was that really God's plan for me? So God's, things can change. Keep that in mind. You know, God knows best. We need to trust him. So verse 13, then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told to Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God, what did God do? He delivered him. God, it tells us here, God delivered him not into the hands of Saul. Why? Because God had told him what to do. God was guiding him. David was asking for guidance continually. So no matter what was going to take place, David knew that he was in God's hands. So point number 7. Proceed with your decision. David got clarity from God. They're going to come and get you. You'll be delivered into Saul's hands. What did David do? He decided to proceed and keep on moving forward as God was leading him. Proceed with your decision. In Proverbs 16, verse 3, it tells us, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. When we put God first in our plans, we have nothing to worry about. Amen? Even though sometimes those plans may not seem like what the way we want it to be, but God knows. Friends, we can God's plans may change, yes. Life can be sometimes unpredictable when we have God in charge of our lives, but we can be sure that His plans are the best plans. Amen? We can be sure that what He has in store for us are the right ways. So these last two passages to finish off. Remember this in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. It tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." So I just want to leave you with that in mind. May we choose today to surrender all our will to God. We know that sometimes where there's a will, there's a way. Sometimes we can have our own way if we really want to. But God's ways are the best. Amen? Amen. Friends, I guess as we look around what's happening in the world today, we can see that we're living in unpredictable times. And keep that in mind, that we can be very sure that if we hold on to Jesus, no matter what decisions we have to make for our future, God can lead us the right way. You know, things will change so rapidly today, we just need to trust in God in everything He does. So let's just pray. Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for Your guidance and for Your direction. We want to thank You for Your Holy Spirit, Lord, Your Word, and Your power, Lord, that You're there to guide us and direct us the right way, Father. I ask that You might help us. You may help me to have faith and trust in You, Lord, to be able to have that wholehearted surrender to You, that every decision that I make, every decision that we make here, Father, may be to the honor and the glory of Your name. May You continue to guide us and lead us, Lord, and may as you lead us, Lord, may we use this blessing of knowing You to share with others, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.